Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. It's great to see everyone. Great to be in the house of the Lord, especially on this special Lord's Day of Thanksgiving. We're all here, and by being here, each and every one of us will be blessed by the Lord. It's good to see everyone. Big thank you to whoever crept in here when no one was looking and decorated our church. What a great job they did. Isn't it beautiful? My word. It's the magic. It works every time. Worked again. Great, great job. Sandra, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. I have quite a few announcements this morning, so I'll just highlight them and let you read the details in your bulletin. But first off, if the children would like to take a pumpkin home from outside, I've been told that they will ripen for Halloween, and they look beautiful out there, so take a pumpkin on your way home. Thanks to all who donated to the food bank. I am told that we took up over 200 pounds up to the food bank of food, so that's wonderful. Ladies' Bible study started this past Thursday, and if you are wanting to come but missed the first one, just read chapters 3 and 4 of Acts and you'll be up to speed. There's a cleaning bee October 11th at the church, and bring a bag lunch. Reverend Bill Nixon will be speaking on October 28th, and he's from the Mustard Seed, so we'll have our traditional Mustard Seed lunch. Shoeboxes are coming up again. November 8th is the date there, and we like to focus on boys ages 10 to 14 because that's the age group that is missed the most often, but any age is acceptable. And then if you're a lady, there are three programs that are coming up that look wonderful, that our Christian ladies group is doing: Women of the World, Fresh Winds Women Conference, and Girls Night Out. So those look really interesting. I think those are all the announcements that I have. Would anyone else have an announcement this morning? Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. If you're wondering why Sandra went so quickly, it's because I asked her to. She's got a lot in our service this morning. I said, Sandra, get through them notices quickly. She did a great job. Thank you, Sandra. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Psalm 100, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." We stand and we sing to the glory of God our approach hymn number 599, "Come Ye Thankful People, Come."
Gathered in, ere the winter's
Always so very nice about Thanksgiving, and I'm sure you all appreciate it, is the fact that families come home, and it's good to see all of the families gathered again, people who grew up in this church family and this church congregation, and here we are. We all come home for harvest, and it's great to see everyone here. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, how can we ever express our gratitude, our grateful thanks to you for all that you have done for us? We look around us, Lord, and we can see your glory shining all around us. We look around us, Lord, and we are surrounded by family, by our church family, by our own families. We are surrounded by your love, Lord, which shines out to us from all of these people who gather together to worship you. And as we come to worship you, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that you will bless us by the treasures of your holy word, however that word may come to us. Bless us, Lord, and we pray at this time of worship that you will accept the praise we bring, for we seek to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus, to the name which is above every name. We worship you, Father, in Jesus' name, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Please join me now for our responsive reading. God saw all that he had made, and it was good.
You cared for the land and watered it. You enriched it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it.
You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overthrow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness.
The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for you and sing.
He makes grass grow for the cattle, and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.
Glory be to the Father.
One of the things which is particularly special about today is that in addition to it being Thanksgiving, it is also World Communion Day. World Communion Day. So when we gather together around the Lord's table and we celebrate His love for us, we do it as a church family here, but we do it as a worldwide family, a worldwide family of God, right throughout the world, different nations, all joining together on this day and celebrating Holy Communion. And so as we participate in this, we do so with these thoughts in our minds, that when we do this, we join with the whole world. Everyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ is welcome to participate in this celebration of His love for us.
Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love Thee and worthily magnify Thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this Thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in Thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under Thy table, but Thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of our Saviour Jesus, which was broken for us, and to drink of His blood, which was shed for us, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by His body, and our souls washed through His most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in Him, and He in us. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes."
Would the elders come and join me, please? You that do earnestly and truly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in His holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and present yourself in all humility before Almighty God. Jesus Christ. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
the Lord Jesus broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus.
Thank you. The Lord Jesus died on the cross that we might have life. And we have life because 3 days later he rose again. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. Take, eat, and be thankful. Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. We are cleansed of our sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take, drink in remembrance of him and be thankful.
We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, for this blessed communion, we give you thanks. And we pray, Lord, that by your body and that by your blood, that we may be made strong in your spirit, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. Amen. Special music today will be presented for us by Ashley Reed, and her dad's going to come up here and accompany her, and we welcome them. Thank you.
Okay, so the song me and Dad are going to be singing for you today is called When You Believe.
Many nights we've prayed with no proof anyone could hear, but in our hearts a hopeful song we barely understood. And we are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could. There can be miracles when you believe. The hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe. Somehow you will. Prayer so often proves in vain. Hope seems like the summer birds too swiftly flown away. Yet now I'm standing here, my heart so full I can't explain. Seeking faith and speaking words I never thought I'd say. There can be miracles when you believe. The hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe. Somehow you will. You will when you believe. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe. Somehow you will. You will when you believe.
Big thank you to Ashley. That was a lovely job, Ashley. Thank you so very much. Good message as well. That message that you've got there ties nicely with our service today. How did you know? Thank you. Thanks, Blake. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for our blessings. And we thank you for the miracles that happen within life. Take these gifts, Lord. They are our humble tokens of gratitude. Take the givers, Lord. Bless each and every one of them. And use them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Special thank you to Peggy for that beautiful piece of music that she played there during the offertory. Thank you, Peggy. Beautiful. Someone's been in there and polished the bells. Would the children like to come and join me, please? Be careful what you commit yourself to. So who's a good reader? Really good reader? Yeah, a few. Who can read great big long words? Sort of. I came across a big long word, and I'm not quite sure what it is. So I'm going to ask Grant to put it on the screen, and I want you to look at this word and see if you can tell me what it says. Who knows what that word says? What do you think it says? God is nowhere. God is nowhere? Who thinks it says God is nowhere? That's right. He did. God is... Anybody think it says anything different? Somebody does. What are you... God is now here. Oh, that's better, isn't it? God is now here. So the first one said God is nowhere, and the second one says God is now here. The point is, where do you think God is?
Up in heaven.
Up in heaven. Who thinks God's up in heaven?
I do.
Do you think he's anywhere else other than up in heaven?
Wherever you want him to be.
That's a good answer, isn't it?
He can also be in your heart.
In your heart, all around you. He can be in church. He can be anywhere. Absolutely anywhere. Because Jesus said if we worship him, he will be with us always. Even unto the end of time. It doesn't matter where we go or what we do. But that's kind of scary, isn't it? Because it means that God can hear us. And he can see us. And he knows what we're doing. Isn't that scary?
No.
Here's the good news. God forgives us our sins if we say we're sorry. Just like your mom forgives you for your wrongdoing when you say you're sorry. God is even greater than that. And he forgives us when we do things and say things which are wrong if we go to him and say we are sorry. Never forget, God is with us all the time. He sees us all the time. He hears us all the time. And he promised that he would be with us always at all times. So shall we just say a little prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your presence with us right now. And we thank you, Lord, that your presence goes with us all times, wherever we go, whatever we are doing. Help us to remember this, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. I think the children are now going out to Sunday school. When I was a lot younger than what I am now, one of the harvest hymns that I always remember is this next one that we're going to sing. I can remember singing it at school in the school assembly, and I can remember singing it at Sunday school, and I can remember singing it at church. And we're all going to sing it so well now that we'll never forget singing it. So we'll stand and we sing to the glory of God. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land. Thank you.
seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine and soft refreshing
Whilst I was doing my preparations for this day's worship, I came across a quotation from Robbie Burns. Your dad should have still been here. He could have read this. I'm going to attempt to read this in Scottish. Here we go. He wrote, "Some hae meat and canna eat, and some would eat that want it. But we hae meat and we can eat. So let the Lord be thankit." Did you get that, sort of? Don't forget to say thank you. That's what Robbie Burns is saying there. And that was great. When Ashley sang, she sang, "There can be miracles when you believe. There can be miracles when you believe." And one of the main things that I want you to go away with from today's service is the total and almighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our Father's world. This is God's world. This is the world of Jesus. And he can do all things. If I were to ask you to raise your hand if you have ever experienced the power of Christ in your life, whether it be by healing, whether it be by touching love, by bringing someone home, whatever, I know that many, many hands will be raised. Because this is God's world, and this is power. And at some time or other, we've all prayed for things, sometimes little things, and wow, suddenly it happens. You see Gordon Reed coming to church today? A few people have been praying for that, to see Gordon here, and here he is. You see Betty Thomas coming to church today? She had a little fall and she had a little upset, and quite a few people were praying for her recovery. You know, and you've got your own little miracles going on. You can see them happening in your life and all around you. This is God's world. He rules. He has supreme power. And we come before him and we bow down and we give thanks for his love. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have made the world so bright, so full of splendor and of joy, beauty and light. So many glorious things are here, noble and right. We thank you, Father, for your church here on earth, that she has stood the test of time, that the gates of hell have not and will never prevail against her, and that through your holy church we have rich traditions and a holy heritage. We are thankful that through your church the name of Jesus is lifted high and glorified and proclaimed above all other names. On this special day of thanksgiving, as we bow our heads before your throne of grace, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of life, that your love for us is not dependent upon any worthiness of ours. We thank you, Lord, for the measure of health and strength that we are able to enjoy, and that we know neither hunger nor want. We thank you for the clothes that we wear, and we thank you for those people who are close to us and those who love us so much. We have friends whose words of encouragement have often lifted us and chased away the dark clouds and the shadows. Lord, you have given us a zest for life, and you have many times answered our prayers. You grant us care and protection as you watch over us day by day. And you have sent your angels to minister unto us during our dark moments. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we live in a beautiful and peaceful land that is well able to provide for our needs. A land with peaceful valleys and smiling meadows, with mighty mountains and fields that are rich with your bounty. Lord, we ask you to accept the praise that we bring. Help us, Father, to always appreciate what we have and not to dwell upon those things that we do not have. May we be ever mindful of those who are less fortunate than we are, and especially those who suffer. Lord, hear our silent prayers for those you have placed upon our hearts to care for and to pray for. We pray in silence. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our own church family that is for each of us a source of joy and sustenance. We pray, Lord, for those who are separated from us either by distance or dissension, and we pray, Lord, for them, that you will care for them, that you will love them and watch over them. We ask you now, Father, to bless each of us as we prepare to go forward into a new week. Help us, Lord, to be grateful for all things and to ever give thanks in all circumstances. And we pray, Lord, that at all times we might be your channel of blessing to all whom we meet. We ask you to hear these our prayers, Lord, for we offer them in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving to all of you. The gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. Jesus speaks about families. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this, and he answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. The epistle this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, chapter 2, verses 5 to 12. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son of God, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters, and in the assembly I will sing your praises.
Thank you to Pat for those readings from the scriptures today. We stand again and sing to the glory of God the hymn number 560, For the Beauty of the Earth. How many are there? No, we'll sing the first and last. First and last verse, Grant. You okay? Thank you. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we came into church this morning, Dale Christensen passed on to me a little piece that he had picked up during the course of the week, and it was this. Now, the reason I'm telling you is that this fits into this sermon somewhere, and you identify where it fits. Okay, this is what he said. If you do not eat from the bread of life, you are toast. If you do not eat from the bread of life, you are toast. Now, that fits somewhere. You see where. This phrase, famous last words, is used today almost like a joke. It has become a grim sort of humour that we use to describe a person who thinks a situation isn't dangerous. You know, like, don't worry, the gun isn't loaded. Things like that. I don't like seatbelts, they crumple my clothes. I'll come to church when I get a bit older. I'm much too young to be worried about things like that now. Famous last words. Some famous last words, which I'm sure you've already heard, well, I know you have because I've quoted them before, were pretty eye-opening. In 1962, the Decca Recording Company pronounced, "We do not like their sound, and guitar music is on its way out." These were their famous last words as they rejected the at that time, the new British pop group. What were they called again? The Beatles. Sometimes famous last words are used not as a joke, but as a way of expressing, this is it, folks. This is the ultimate. It doesn't get any better than this. You know what I'm talking about, as in advertising. This is it, folks. Brand X. The last word in household cleaners. So what these people are saying is, look no further. This is the one. This is the ultimate. You will never get any better than this. This is the type of picture that the writer of the book of Hebrews is presenting to us in the opening few verses of his letter to the Hebrews that we read in our lectionary reading today. This is it, folks, he's saying. The ultimate. This is God's famous last word. His ultimate revelation to mankind. This is God's greatest communication with people. Ever since the creation of the world, God has wanted and has tried to communicate with his people. Ever since God created you, he has been trying to communicate with you individually. Look at the world all around you. Look at the changing seasons. Look at the fields. Look at the harvests. Look at the produce of the earth. And we can see God's fingerprint absolutely everywhere. Listen again to the introduction to Hebrews 1. And it talks about God communicating with his people. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. His Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. His Son, through whom he made the universe. His Son, who is the radiance of God's glory. His Son, who is the exact representation of his being. His Son, who sustains all things by his powerful word. His Son, who after he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven, of God himself. His Son, much superior to the angels, as his name is so much more excellent and superior to theirs. These four verses of Holy Scripture contain huge amounts of knowledge for us. They are the inspired word of God, the mighty creator of everything, a communication from God our Father directly to you and to me. God is speaking to you and to me. It tells us that he has spoken through the prophets, from a whirlwind, in a still small voice, from a burning bush, through angels on mountaintops, in gentle breezes. And then finally, ultimately, in God's famous last words, through our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Some people today believe that all religions are basically the same. They place Jesus on par with Muhammad or with Buddha or with all of these other founders of earthly religions. And all these people whom they compare to Jesus, where are they now? They are dead. Jesus lives. He lives. Before Jesus' birth, God gave us revelations of himself. He gave us a glimpse here, a vision there. But when God came to this earth himself, in Jesus, God himself spoke to us, to all of his people. He speaks. And God said all that he wanted to say in this book. The Word of God. Do you want to know what God has to say about sin? Listen to Jesus. Do you want to know what God has to say about you? Talk to Jesus. Do you want to know what God's word is on marriage and on divorce and on family values? Listen to Jesus. Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me. Anyone who has seen me," says Jesus, "has seen the Father." You cannot see God without seeing Jesus. You cannot be a follower of God without Jesus. No one, says Jesus, comes to the Father except by me. And this is God speaking to us. If you wish to spend your eternity in heaven, in a heavenly paradise, and not in a torment of hell, you really need to get to know Jesus, and you need to do it now. The time is coming when you will call upon the name of the Lord, but you will not be heard. It's in the Word of God. Don't leave it too late. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." I am is what God told Abraham was his name when he spoke to him from the burning bush. Abraham says, "Who shall I say send me?" And God says, "Tell them I am. I am." Jesus is God. No one comes to the Father but by me. Apart from me, says Jesus, you can do nothing. But if you have faith in me, he says, you can do all things. All things. Hebrews 1 tells us that when God created the universe, he did it through Jesus. And consequently, the whole world, the whole universe belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the brightness of God's own glory. Jesus is the radiance of God, the light of the world. Jesus is God's true likeness. There's an interesting story told about the Queen, Queen Elizabeth. One of her favourite places to go to is Sandringham, her palace in Norfolk. And she likes nothing better than to go there and to go out walking the dogs, the corgis. And sometimes she even goes into the local village shop. And while she was there one time shopping, a local resident remarked to her, "Why, you look just like the Queen." And the Queen replied, "How very reassuring." Isn't it reasonable that the Queen should look like the Queen? Because the Queen is the Queen. The testimony of the Holy Bible, the Word of God, is that when we see Jesus, we see God. Jesus looks just like God. How very reassuring, because Jesus is God. And that is why, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And if you do not pay homage to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, then you are in trouble with the Almighty. An interesting point in verse 3. Is that it says, after Jesus had provided purification for sins, that means after he had died and on the cross and risen from the dead, it says, he sat down. He sat down. Doesn't that seem so very, very ordinary for God? You finish your work, you finish your tasks, and what do? You sit down. You have a well-earned rest, right? But this point had great significance to the Jewish people, whom the letter of the Hebrews is written to. The Jews believed that the closest person to God was the high priest. And even he was not permitted to sit down in God's temple, in God's presence. The temple had many, many lavish furnishings, but no chair. The high priest himself was only permitted to enter the Holy of Holies, the very centre where the ark was, once a year. And that was as close as he was permitted to get to God. To the Jews, it was written in the book of Hebrews when Jesus had finished his work, he sat down in glory, in the glory of heaven, as only God could do. But the writer of Hebrews is telling the Jews, this is God. This is the Messiah that you are looking for. He is here. Then Jesus goes on, or the writer of Hebrews goes on, and he talks about angels. I wonder why he does that. Well, in those days, very much like now, angels had become very popular. They were the most powerful and wonderful of God's creations. The Old Testament tells us that angels were continually in God's presence and serving him. They were so powerful, they could destroy entire armies, single-handed. That was the power of the angel. Angels created such an atmosphere of fear that when they came and they spoke, invariably their first words were, "Fear not. Fear not." Because everybody was terrified of them. They were in awe of them. The presence of angels had such an effect that people's first reaction was to bow down and worship. And when the book of Hebrews was written, people were not only bowing down to angels, they were worshipping them and they were praying to them. The point is made, the angels were created by Jesus to serve Jesus. They are his messengers and they do his will. Hebrews 1:14 says this, angels are merely spirits sent to serve people who are going to be saved. Sent to serve people who are going to be saved. Who are these people? Who are these people who are being served by angels? Try John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him will not perish. They will not be condemned to an eternity of hell. They will have eternal joy and they will have an angel watching over them. He will give his angels charge over you. The message in Hebrews then is precisely the same message now. The same message to all of God's people now. God has spoken his famous last words. Jesus is God. Jesus is the voice of God. And if we do not listen to the word of God, then we do not have a cozy guardian angel sitting on our shoulder. How many, many people suppose that everybody has. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. We need to get the name right. Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to get the message right. Jesus saves. God has spoken. This is his famous last words through Jesus Christ, who is God. And by the grace of God, and only through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have salvation in this life and more importantly in the next. In the mighty name of Jesus, thanks be to God. Amen. If you do not eat of the bread of life, you are toast. For our closing hymns, we stand and we sing to God's glory. The hymn number 58, This Is My Father's World.
Creatures sing.
112 to be God's people.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer to be God's people.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
I thought you were looking for the calculator.